to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell. Hi, ladies and gents. It's lockdown day 3,675, isn't it? I think we're all losing the plot slightly, but luckily we've got these podcasts to keep us going. This week's lady is Sally Lindsay. You've seen Sally Lindsay, and I'm a bit biased, God, she's my mate, but everything that's ever been good on the telly over our lifetime, she's been in as long as we can remember. So going back in the day when Corrie was something we all watched every night of the week, she was one of its biggest stars playing Shelley. Of course, Mount Pleasant, we loved it in Liverpool. That's one of her strings to her bow. Of course, Phoenix Nights, the list is endless. She's an absolute star, both on the telly, on stage, and in real life. And I really want you to get to know her through this podcast. So please enjoy every second with this unbelievable working mother that I just adore, and I know you will too. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the one and only Sally Lindsay.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Sally, we are now talking to most of Liverpool, men and women who tune into Ladies of Liverpool. Let's talk about the last time you were in Liverpool. Talk us through Panto, Sal.
Well, the last time I was in Liverpool was actually for a christening that we were both at. Wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that's right. We had a party
with Chantelle's little baby's christening. Yeah. So, but the last time I was in Liverpool working was when I was in a panto with you, which was about 5 years ago now, 4 years ago. What was it?
It was
5 years ago.
It was a long time ago. It was your very first panto, and I remember the first day we met. And you were just like, "What the hell is this? What is going on?"
I suppose I'd been offered pantos before, but because of work, I've always worked to do one, but I'd never been, you know, work had come in and I thought, I can't make it, because it's quite a commitment, isn't it? You know, you can't have days off here and there. So anyway, the chance came that this one came at the Empire. I've always loved the Empire. One of the first plays I ever did was at the Empire when I first started, back when I was like in my early 20s. So I desperately wanted to go back. But then panto was like, normally when you go to a production, you learn the lines as you go and you learn the feel of it. And then it was completely the wrong way around. What I should have done is learn every single line off book before I got there and then just been told where to stand, because it just happened in like 3 seconds. And I was apoplectic. I was so nervous. I couldn't breathe.
I remember the moment you got told, right, so this is your song. You've got to learn your song. You were like, right, okay, all right. You got on with that. You cracked on. And then they said, oh, and by the way, you sing that in a ring. You're going to be up in the sky, sat in a ring. And you just turned into me and being like, I don't know about this.
in a hoop. And the funny when we actually got on to the funniest line of it all, apart from lots of backstage shenanigans that we had, but the funniest line ever, there was a stage hand, I can't remember his name now, he was a lovely fella. He was putting me on this hoop and it was like this tiny little rope across me. And I went, is that it? I'm going 20 foot in the air, 25 foot in the air, and there's a little tiny, and he went, hey, you want to be proud? The last arse on that was Silla's.
Ladies of Liverpool.
We can't go any further without talking about Shelley.
If you wish, dear. If you wish. Yes, she's
there. Come on.
So it's 15 years ago now. That was, I think it was 15 years ago I left now. Yeah.
So what were you doing before you landed that big role that everyone loved on Corrie?
Well, I got into it pretty late. I went to university, I did English, and then that's why I got into acting. It was always completely by accident. I didn't get my first job till I was 24, which is like ages after everybody else that's ever done it. And when I was 25, I was very, very lucky because my agent put me in a showcase, and the next day I was in the Royal Family. So I did this part where I played Michelle, and I was Twiggy's girlfriend in the Royal Family, and they wanted a complete unknown. And it sort of launch padding, but it was really interesting because I was up that year before they created Shelley for me. I was getting down to the last two of everything. So I was sort of like this, oh, who's this kind of thing? And because I was old, relatively old, and it sounds daft, but relatively old in the business, everybody was wondering, well, what have you been up to? Where have you been doing? I've nothing really. I'd just been like at university and drinking, I suppose. And so then I was up to like the last two for everything, but I got so bored. That's when I did stand up for a year. And that's when I met loads of mates. who I've still got now. And that was such a fantastic year. I was absolutely skinned and I was absolutely petrified for most of it, but he was brilliant. But what I didn't know was June West, the casting director at the time of Coronation Street, very famous casting director, and she was sort of following me. She was keeping an eye on me. And so I didn't really know. I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden I got an invite to go to Granada, and they basically give me this sort of paragraph about this Shelley Unwin. And she's this, and it was literally a paragraph. It was nothing. There's no character description or anything. It was just like, right, make it up and see what happens. So I literally got a 7-episode trial. That's all it was. Yeah. I didn't get anything else. And then I just thought, right, that's it. I'm going to make this character. So at the time, I nicked sort of bits from Raquel, I nicked bits from Bette, and nicked bits from, and then I formed her as a complete individual. And that's when she was there for 5 years. But yeah, but it was great. I mean, a fantastic time. It's brilliant. Still got great dear friends from that, those days. So it was great, yeah. But it's so long ago now. It is because it's so iconic. You do. Some people think you're still there, you know, because it's
bizarre. Do you still walk down the street and people still call you Shelley? Because I imagine. People definitely do.
Some do. Interestingly, it's probably about, most people do call me Sally now, which is great. But I don't mind being called Shelley. But it is bizarre because it's like, I see myself as a kid then, you know, so it's like being called something that was so long ago. But, you know, I'm very proud of it. So, you know, I would, like I said, I've still got very dear friends there, still there, and who I've left, I'm still in contact with very much so. So it was a very good place for me, very special place.
Yeah, but you've done so much since then, haven't you? What about Mount Pleasant? That must have been
Mount Pleasant was an absolute gem of a play. And it was brilliant because Liverpool absolutely loved Mount Pleasant. We used to get peaks in Liverpool, which was about right, really, because it was about, you know, a marriage of a husband and wife who really got on together, but they'd been together for ages. So they spoke to each other like they wanted to, but they couldn't live without each other. And I think it was a real brilliant study of a modern marriage, because you always have on television, you always have marriages that break down, or there's affairs, or there's this, that and the other, or, you know, they're on the second one. And this one was like, it just ticked along like, and there's so many couples that are associated with it. I mean, people literally used to stop me in the street going, that is me and my husband. Literally, we say the same things, which was lovely. I mean, we had a competition one year. I think it was like season 5. And it was like, how Dan and Lisa are you? And we had like all these entrants. And these three couples, you know, came to the set. And me and Dan walked in on them, but by surprise. And they were just like, they couldn't get over how much... you know, that was their lives, really, and they reflected it. But it was a joyous time, Mount Pleasant. I absolutely loved it. It was 7 years of bliss, and, you know, so it was a great time. But, you know, all good things come to an end.
Yeah.
But we did, and it was great as well, because Coronation Street, you're just there, you can't do anything else. So brilliantly, Mount Pleasant was 3 months of the year, 3.5 months of the year. So I got to do other stuff as well, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. And you got to work with our very own Fitzy as well. What was it like doing a day job with him?
Oh, he's a darling, isn't he? Massive gossip. gossip. Hey, have you heard this? But he was, you know, Fitzy is one of my dear, dear friends. I mean, obviously I played very early doors. I played Rayvon's girlfriend, Tracy Burns, didn't I? So it was one of my first jobs right back in the, even before the royal family. So I was his girlfriend a long, long time ago, 25 years ago, something ridiculous. So I've known Fitzy for a long time, and we did a brilliant, I've worked with him a lot, actually. We did a brilliant, after Phoenix Nights, we did a brilliant, we thought it was brilliant. And then when it was edited together, it was crap. it was this thing called Scallywagger. And when we were on set, it was like this BBC Three thing, and it was really cutting edge. And when we were on set, it was me, Fitzy and Steve Edge. We were hysterical. And then when we went to the screening, we went, how have they done that? Have they managed to make it so rubbish?
That must be a nightmare when you think you know what you're going to see, and then they've edited it into something that you can't even recognise.
How do you take the funny out of that? I mean, it was like Steve Edge, me, it was Beverly Rudd, really funny people, and they just managed to make it really, really crap. But so that was funny. But we were hysterical on that set. That was fantastic. And Mount Pleasant, we were constantly laughing. We got on so well. I mean, I wanted him in it from the start, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I do have my pack of sort of troubadours, I suppose. If I do get a project and I have got any say in it, I always sort of give the people a loving, and Fitzy's definitely one of them. Yeah, he's great.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Could you pick the ultimate role? What's the role that you will look back at when you're 70 and go, That was an absolute joy playing that part.
What, I completely know. See, it's really weird, Leanne, because some roles they're brand new. So you make them yourself. And, so they like the movie Nun, or I've just written a series now, which obviously is on delay. We're meant to be in Malta filming it at the moment, but unfortunately, I can't talk about it. Oh. But that's an amazing thing that I've written. And that's for Channel 5. That's been commissioned. So we're just hanging on when we can actually go out and blooming do it. Roles that have been written before and other people have played and you think you've nailed it. I think probably to think back, I would say, because it was such a Mancunian thing, it was Taste of Honey. I played Helen in Taste of Honey at the Royal Exchange. Yeah. And I think that was probably, for me, it was quite an emotional hump of my career, because it was a highlight in the fact that, Sheila Delaney and that play, there wouldn't be any working class drama on television if it wasn't for that play. And there wouldn't be, Coronation Street wouldn't exist. All the Jimmy McGovern stuff wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that one play. Because everything before was like Terence Rattigan and Noel Coward and posh people walking through French windows and talking about tennis. There was nothing about us of the working classes. And that play was so important in the 50s that everything, it started the kitchen sink dramas, which were so incredibly important for us. All of a sudden we saw ourselves on screen and all of a sudden we had a voice. And doing that at the Royal Exchange and it selling out because the Manx wanted it so much. It was, that was a time I think was quite phenomenal for me. And and also it was against type because she was such a cow, She was such a cow and they didn't know whether I'd be right to do it. And as I am a complete cow, so it's all right.
No. Do you know what I love? I'm sitting here listening to the passion in your voice. I'm like, people who've seen Sally Lindsay on the telly, they think they've got an idea of who she is. But when you actually get to know you, you realise how passionate you are about, first and foremost, encouraging other women. I watch you around other girls and you're like, myself included, you're like, you're full of enthusiasm of what we can do and what we should achieve and how we should be pushing ourselves.
Absolutely.
And you're doing that through your writing as well, aren't you now?
So I've got my own company now, Leanne, and it's with another amazing woman called Caroline, and she has been exec for the BBC 2 years, and we did a little documentary. I think you did get it over in Liverpool because it was Northwest, and also it went on BBC 4. It was about Emmeline Pankhurst and the suffragettes, and when we did that, it sort of changed. I was always pretty confident, but it changed everything in my head, thinking, I don't know why I'm not just doing this for myself. I don't know why I'm going to predominantly male independent production companies and saying, what do you think of my wonderful idea? Here's take out 50% of it. So basically we set this company up. I mean, don't go, we've had bumps in the way, but we've had our, quite a few commissions, but this one is actually going to series though. So we're extremely excited about that. We've got, I'm writing it with my friend Sue Vincent, another woman, so we've got female writers, of which there's not enough of. We've got, female producers in it and, so it's really important not just to put your money where your mouth is, really. And and also empowering women. That's the main thing is we all think there's a brilliant quote by Ricky Gervais. And I know he's a bloke and a very staunch bloke, but he said something that really clicked in my head. And he said, when you go into a meeting, you must think that nobody knows any more than you do. And once you know that, once you realise that about who you are and what you know about this industry, everything comes easy because everybody starts listening to you all of a sudden because you do know what you're talking about. Once you tell yourself you know what you're talking about, then you do know what you're talking about. And that's where success, I think, success comes from. And it's hard. It doesn't come overnight because you think, oh, I'm not sure. Because we as women are sort of, we're meant to think, oh, we don't really know what we're doing. And, and whether it be some 25-year-old, who's just literally come out of his short pants telling you what to do. And you think, and it gets to, I'm 46 years of age. It's taken me till like a couple of years ago to go, hang on a minute, what are you talking about? And knowing what your job is and who you are and what you're worth. And that's something, unfortunately, women have a problem with. And it's because of the way we're brought up, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's overcoming that. That's the thing. And so all this, your brilliant podcast about, empowering women and women talking to each other and us pulling each other up. That's what I'm all about, really.
Yeah, I think that comes as well a little bit with age as well. Or maybe once you step into your 30s, I found I changed so much in my 30s.
Oh,
I just saw everything
brilliant.
Totally differently. Yeah,
I did.
It was almost, it's like that old saying, isn't it? In your 20s, you walk in a room and you wonder who's going to like you. In your 30s, you're wondering who you actually like. Who do I want to sit next to? I don't care if anyone likes me or they don't anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a terrible people pleaser, but I'm not anymore. If I don't want to go anywhere, I don't do anything for anyone I don't like anymore. I don't actually care what they think about me. Oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. If she's done it, she's done it. I'm like, I don't really care. I mean, in a quite harsh way, there's part of me that's come out. But I do think, I remember I had a surprise 30th birthday party, which was really lovely. And I remember loving it. It was looking around, seeing all my friends, a lot which I've still got now. But I remember thinking, oh, this is it now. This is what I look like. And this is who I am. What a massive relief. I don't have to worry about, getting something done or losing weight or have I got the right hairdo? Because this is it. And I'll just work with it and it's fine. You know, obviously we all have a bloody moan.
Everything saying now, I'm like relating to it massively. And I just know a lot of the ladies listening now are going to be sitting there going, this is me. She's saying exactly what I feel in my 30s. This is who I am. It's almost like you can start enjoying life because you know who you are.
Yeah. And it might not be perfect it might not be, I think your relationships and with friends and with partners, or prospective partners, really, I think they're so much more enriched when you're happy in your own skin. And I don't think our media helps us. You know what I mean? I would, those pink papers, I would literally rip them off the magazine stall if I could, you know, with rings around things. And these poor women who've just had babies and they've got, and you're like, of course you've got a baby bump. I still got a baby bump. And boys are nine, you know. I mean, I was a 54-inch waist. What do they expect? I've got twins, obviously. It wasn't a massive baby. But it was a 54. I mean, what do I expect? Well, you know, my body was my body was amazing. It carried two perfectly healthy babies for 8.5 months and fed them and I produce these amazing children. You think, God, you look at your body in a different way thinking, God, that's amazing.
Every scar, my belly button looks like an owl prune. You want to see the kip of my belly button? And every time I look at it, I go, no, but like what went on behind that belly button? It fed two babies.
Two amazing, beautiful children that are fantastic. And you think, God, I did that. And I do think that we put ourselves in, you know, I'm not entering that story. So anyone who asks me to sort of promote any sort of food stuff or anything like that, they can go and
shakes and all that palaver.
Oh, all that nonsense about, you know, lollipops that make you thin. Shut up. Just get in the bin. Sure. If you're hungry, eat.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Talk to me about motherhood, Sally. So you've got these two boys. They're both nine. Same age as my little lad.
Yes. And I know.
I've got one. You've got two homeschooling right now. How are you coping with that?
Do you know what? We've been so lucky with the school because they've got this IT genius there and he's set up like this Zoom call in the morning and and they're dead scared. Well, not scared. They're more scared of the teachers than the NIU, aren't they? We know that. So the Zoom call, the teacher comes in and in our house really for half an hour, tells them what to do. They go off and do it and then they send it back and it's all through technology. What I do worry about is like, because we've been able to, we had to go and get them two cheap laptops, which is they were a couple of hundred each. So we were quite expensive from their savings, but we had savings for them. And I just think there's some kids out there, they're literally trying to do their own work on the mum's phone. And it worries me, keeps me up at night. Cause I just think these kids, you know, and we've got a bit of a garden as well. And you just think, God, this must be really difficult. Cause we thank our lucky stars. We've got a garden. We've got, you know, a couple of laptops for them and we've got another room for them to go in. So we're very privileged really. So I think for me, it's a different story than a lot of mums out there struggling. I what would say to them is, you know, do your best and believe me, keeping them sane in this time is much more important than whether they know trigonometry or not. That is,
you're like me. I can't do half of the bloody own work what my kids have got. Don't know what chance they've got.
Leanne, I've got an English degree, right? And so my kids, one Louis asked what a preposition noun blur, and I went, I have no, you may as well be talking Mandarin to me, mate. I don't know what you're talking about. And just being dead honest rather than like Google it going, yes, I don't know. I email your teacher because I don't know that, pal. Oh, mum, you're really thick.
Like, it's quite nice for the kids to see our weaknesses, though, isn't it? That we're all humans, we're all in it together. Sorry about that, love.
Don't worry, it's fine.
You can't help but hear the dog that's going off as Rocky. You've just bought a dog as well, haven't you?
Oh, God. Well, it was a little a rescue from Hungary. Sounds mad. Because I'm allergic to every dog apart from this little thing called a Poolie, which is not little, she's massive now. But a Poolie, they're like the Rastafarian dogs, you know, with the dreads.
Yeah.
And because my mate Jonathan Harvey is a Scouser, amazing writer from so he's got a Poolie, and he and I love Boo. And so I said, if we ever get a dog, it would be that. We talked about it, but anyway, Steve was on this website. And there's this little girl who'd been found bitten, and she was starving, and they pound her in. So I said, oh, we've got to have her anyway. She's hysterical. We absolutely, she came in a van over from Hungary, and this from this charity, and we rehoused her in our house. But she hates other dogs. She hates dogs and she hates cars. It's everything that was at the orphanage before, you know, the car. So she hates getting in the car and she hates other dogs. So we've been socially distancing on our walk since blooming November, since we got her, because she'll rip their heads off. But she's gorgeous.
Are the boys delighted, Sally? Have they bonded with the little sister dog?
They absolutely adore her. And she puts up with them, and they're kissing her, putting sunglasses on her, and, you know, dragging her around the garden. You think, oh, God, this poor dog. You know, but she's a monkey with eating. Sometimes she doesn't like eating for a day, and then she only wants what we. We think she's like a girl in a dog outfit, because she likes human food and human stuff. Like, she sits and watches television properly.
Oh, yeah. Our Diego's gone off dog food now because the kids are home, so he's having fish fingers and hot dogs and all sorts.
Yeah, it's really bad for him. Because we took her to the vet, and we got proper told off because she's put like 3 kilos on since we got her, and it's really bad for dogs, isn't it? And I just said, because we're giving her stuff that she shouldn't be having it. So she's like that, looking at dog food now, going, what's this crap? I don't want this.
That's our Diego. He's exactly the same.
I want that Chinese steakway you're eating. Thank you very much.
It's a good time, though, to get a little dog, isn't it, while we're on lockdown?
She's been amazing. I mean, for exercise as well, because she goes twice the speed of light. So I go on like 2-hour walks a day with her, which is fantastic. And now we can go out twice, which is brilliant. So she's been brilliant. But yeah, it's different having a dog, though. We've never had one before. We're not doggy people, so I don't really know what we do.
We're the same. The fact that I got one and then you got one, I thought, what's going on? There's something in the air. The most unlikely women I know to get dogs.
Yeah, and to be doggy people. And I absolutely adore her.
Yeah, really, it's true. You don't understand it. Till you get one, you don't understand it, do you?
You really don't. Totally. All my doggy friends were like, oh, that'll be it. Your heart will be broken every day. And I'd fuss about that bloody dog more than the kids sometimes. Steve says, you've got to chill out. It's a dog.
Yeah, my kids never ended up in our big bed, and this dog somehow manages to get itself in between me and Jay.
Ladies of Liverpool.
I don't know what we're going to do after lockdown, because every rule's just been broken, hasn't it? We've bent every rule as mothers.
Every rule.
There's no going back.
If there wasn't that Zoom call from the teachers in the morning, we'd be like feral. You know, we're like all the teachers teaching us all, because we know we've got to be all ready and alert by 9:30, and you know, all my Zoom calls and meetings and productions, I do them all after 11, because I haven't got my act together till then. It's pathetic. This is someone who starts filming like at 6:30 in the morning. For some reason, I can't get my act together till about 11. It's pathetic.
Are you getting dressed, Sal? I've stopped getting dressed most days.
Well, I have to take the dog out. But I mean, if I could take the dog out in my caftan, I would.
Now, if you lived in Liverpool, it would be abnormal round by ours if you didn't have your pyjamas on walking the dog in the morning. You'd be getting all kinds of looks from the neighbours if you were fully dressed.
Who does she think she is? No, we can't here. We'll get done. But brilliant. So I have to put something on. I know, it's been crazy, but yeah, so it's all right. It's a nightmare, it's rubbish, it's horrible. And I just, I've not enjoyed it at all. And there's certain aspects I have, but I think I just look at the kids and think, oh, you know, they're mates, you know, where they can't play with their little friends and I miss my friends and family. And my mum's been great, but obviously I'm in London, she's in Manchester. So we FaceTime, thank God for technology, but I'm just had enough now, really. It's like every day you wake up going, oh.
Groundhog Day. You know, you do know our mate Jane's having a big, massive party when all this finishes.
Well, I said to her on Facebook, I said, can you imagine the party we're going to have in the Pink House? It's going to be carried out.
She's got plans going on. We've all been told, like, it's top secret, so don't tell anyone in our circle. But me and you both know now, because Chantelle, her daughter, told me. So don't tell anyone. But we've got our party sorted.
Over at the Pink House?
It is, yeah. We're all going to Mallorca to her place, and we're having a big party, unless it's going to be in West Derby. We don't know. So there's your two options, Mallorca
or
West
Derby.
We'll
be there with bells on, believe me. If we can be, we'll be there. We'll be there with bells on.
I don't know. I'm partly looking forward to it. Then I think of the last time me and you ended up at a party and we were fully dressed in a swimming pool.
Well, I got pushed in. But I mean, obviously, you know, I was fine with that because of the state I was in. But I got pushed in and I felt a sort of something in the small of my back and I went, oh my God, and I'm in. I'm thinking, this is not good. And the next minute, you're in with me.
I thought you'd fell in and I thought, oh, I can't have her falling in on her own. Then I realised you were pushed. And then it was a free-for-all once me and you got in. Everyone jumped in.
Everybody jumped in. It was hilarious. I've not done that since university. Steve was like, we look at the state here. Oh, it was brilliant.
I cannot wait to have a ball with you again, my love. So we'll get
you,
that date sorted.
And you,
loads of love to you and your gorgeous family.
And
we can catch
sweetie.
You at the minute. I got the shock of my life when I heard you on it, Ricky and Ralph's tour of the North.
That was my last job, like in freedom.
Well, if you need another Sally fix, you can watch that series. Ralph Little, Ricky Tomlinson as well.
It's
series,
fab. And it's really fab.
Dull voice by our Sal. You sound amazing. Oh, lovely speaking to you, Sally. Thank
you.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe now via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.